This is The Conversation on HPR2. Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, and good morning to you, Bill Sage.
Good morning to you, Beth Ann. Good, but a little bit confused. I mean, I'm sort of sitting here today thinking, we have, for the first time in my life, a situation where Nancy Pelosi and John McCain are on one side, Rush Limbaugh and Jesse Jackson are on the other, and of course the subject is whether to or whether not to, and the confusion about the Syria issue seems to be affecting everybody, including us here in Hawaii.
Well, as those divisions over a possible U.S. strike in Syria continue to polarize perspectives and make, as you say, interesting bedfellows, a Hawaii scholar says whether we will or won't take that action isn't the first question. That one should be which branch of government has the power to declare war. Brian Hallett has just released another in his series of papers challenging the belief of only three primary functions of government: legislative, executive, judicial. You know, all the things you were taught. And he says the basis for his conclusion is the congressional incapacity to declare war. Brian Hallett joins us now. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You know, most of us as kids got the idea from our teachers that, you know, the president wants to declare war, he has to go to Congress. There has to be an agreement. Everybody carries on and goes down the path together. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is that the Constitution says that the Congress shall declare war, and that means that the Congress makes the decision. And then the president, as commander-in-chief, translate that political decision to go to war against Britain in 1776 into military operations that will presumably achieve that political objective. So the whole idea of the president making the decision the way kings have always made the decision is the fundamental error, I think.
Which is why you called it an imperial presidency.
Yeah. Well, Schlesinger called it that.
Well, what you use, I'm talking about the term that you use in your papers, that we should be looking at this from an inverse perspective, and we really aren't. What happened to change that?
Well, is what happened is that the founding fathers in 1789 didn't establish a foreign policy branch of government. A fourth branch of government is what they did is they took the foreign policy problems and they gave some of them to the president, the military, and negotiating treaties, and they gave some to the Congress, and they just sort of spread the foreign policy portfolio here and there in the Constitution, instead of bringing it together in a fourth branch. Subsequent to the Constitution, the Constitution gave the Congress the power to declare war, but the Congress grew from 65 members in 1789 to 535 now. And with 535 people in two separate chambers, you're just never going to come to an agreement about going to war against Korea or Syria or Iraq or whatever.
So doesn't that sort of argue that with all the scattering, the initial scattering of the powers to look at foreign policy and create it and certainly to declare war, that it just became an impracticality for the body as it developed to be able to do it.
Right.
So the most practical person became the president to do that.
Right. The president became the default person, as kings have always done it.
But here we are in a situation where the president tried to use that power once again, then backed off of that, thinking maybe it would be better to go the usual route of saying, let's get some agreement with Congress. But if you look at the two ways in which they're going about it, you've got the one-pager from the president, why he believes we should be going to war, in essence, and then you have that from the Congress. It seems as if that this authorization of force of the Congress seems to be the functional equivalent of a declaration of war.
Right.
But functional equivalency isn't something that is, it's just a default mechanism. It becomes what's practical, not necessarily something that truly is equal.
Yeah, well, my mother was very, very clear that butter cookies could not be made with margarine.
She was a wise woman, your
yes,
mother.
Yes, yes, she was. and the point is, as soon as you allow functional equivalent television addresses by the president, authorization of military force, in 1914, the Congress didn't authorize Wilson to use military force in Mexico. They justified it. I mean, a justification, an authorization, these are functionally equivalent to a declaration of war. But the only declaration of war in American history that's worth reading is the Declaration of Independence. And that's the model. And when the Continental Congress drafted the Declaration of Independence, debated it, amended it, and then voted on it, the Second Continental Congress made the decision. George Washington didn't make the decision. And for the president to make the decision, that is the problem. Kings for 5,000 years have made the decision. And our president continues this tradition of kings. And the spirit, at least, of the Constitution was that we weren't going to have a king.
But here we are now in 2013 with all of these traditions that we have inherited, however strange that they may have been over the years.
Right.
How impractical, really, is the argument that we could somehow go back to the original intent?
Well, the argument is, I argue, 100% practical, because it's 100% logical, historically based, and sound.
Okay, so forget the argument. How about just doing it, actually
now,
implementing it?
Now, when you switch from the argument to the political realities of today, it's totally impractical.
So where does that leave us?
Well, what that leaves us is to seize this Syrian mess, if I may call it that, as a starting point for a conversation and a debate about how we can make decisions about war and peace in a more democratic way, as they tried to do in 1789. And because of the way they did it, it just didn't work. And the example I always use is slavery. So in 1850, how could you argue that slavery was wrong? All of history, all societies that had slavery, therefore slavery is natural. Well, there were a few crazy people, the abolitionists with their newspapers and going around and talking. They started a debate. And guess what? As soon as you start thinking seriously about slavery, it stops making sense.
And to take that by logical extension to how you'd like us to look at the ability to wage war?
Yes. Yeah. I think we have to have a serious, serious conversation. What is a declaration of war? Declaration of Independence, the only example in American history. What is war? Why is war such a thing that we need a declaration?
That's a conversation for another time. Thank you, Brian Hallett, for coming in.
My pleasure.
Brian Hallett is an associate professor at the Matsunaga Institute for Peace at the University of Hawaii. His primary research interests are the process for declaring war, why Congress is incapable of declaring war, and the imperial presidency. His initial research was published in The Lost Art of Declaring War in 1998. His second book, Declaring War, was published last year by Cambridge University Press.